Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll explains how to have hope beyond our suffering.
For you who suffer, only Christ's perspective can replace your resentment with rejoicing. I've seen it happen in hospital rooms. I've seen it happen with individuals that I've talked to. I've seen their whole perspective change when they caught a glimpse of the purpose of Christ in it all.
If we polled everyone listening to this program today, we discover there's very little we share in common. We come from different backgrounds, from a diversity of countries, and from all walks of life. But there's one thing that all of us have in common, and that singular issue is suffering. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll addresses this universal problem. He's teaching from 1 Peter chapter 1, where we find a powerful passage designed to recalibrate our perspective on pain. Chuck titled his message, Hope Beyond Suffering, How We Can Smile Through Suffering.
Beginning about verse 3 down through verse 9, the Apostle Peter talks about how we can deal with suffering times and even rejoice through them. We can rejoice to begin with because we have a living hope. That's verse 3. We can rejoice through the hardest times because we have a living hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, men and women who know Jesus Christ, the final chapter of our lives is heaven. It is heaven. Second, we can rejoice through sufferings because we have a permanent inheritance. Verse 4, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away, and is reserved in heaven for you. There's a third reason to rejoice. It's in the next verse, verse 5, because we have a divine protection. This place is reserved in heaven for you and me who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. There is no way you and I will be lost in the process of these suffering times. We are absolutely safe. We are divinely protected. There's a fourth reason. It's in the next two verses, 6 and 7. We can rejoice because we have a developing faith. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, this passage, these two verses, tell us several things about trials. In fact, I count four things we learn about trials. First, they are needed. See how he puts it? Even though for a while, if necessary. Trials are needed. They prove the genuineness of our faith. Second, they are distressing, painful, they are not easy. Even though for a little while you have been distressed. Third, trials are varied. Notice how he puts it. Even though for a while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. I like this Greek word, poikiloi. I just like to say it, poikiloi. I'm going to say it this next week a lot, poikiloi. You know what it means? It means variegated. It means many-colored. Even though we are distressed by the variegated, many-colored trials of life, they come in various ways. There are various diseases. There are various lusts that give people anguish. There are various strange doctrines. There are various events that occur. They are all different. No trial is exactly like another trial. Remember, we are different. So we respond differently to trials. I can explain why certain things hardly affect me and other things absolutely knock the slats out from under me. I can't explain why you go through a certain thing with such strength and other things hit that hardly affect me that just level you. We're just put together differently, and we need to give each other room. Various trials. But let me give you a good thought. The only other time that Peter uses poikiloi is over in chapter 4, verse 10, as it relates to grace. And I got a great thought on this. No extra charge for this insight. Chapter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the poikiloi, grace of God. There's our word, manifold, various. Here's the thought. It means many colored, many colors. There are many colors of trials we endure, and there is a grace to match every color. Isn't that a good thought? God gave it, so he gets the credit for it. But there is a special trial that levels us, and God gives out of his manifold subjects of grace a special matching color to go with that trial. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he prayed 3 times, and the answer was, no, I'm not taking it away. And then he said, I've learned to trust in you, Lord. I've learned to live with it. And God says, my grace is sufficient for that thorn. He matched the color of the test with the color of grace. And they flowed, blended together. Trials are varied. They come in different colors, and they affect us in different ways. Fourth, notice back in chapter 1, trials are revealing. They prove the genuineness of our faith, that the proof of your faith, more precious than gold, which is perishable, though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We can rejoice because, fifth, we have an unseen Savior. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, you believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Remember now, he's explaining how Christians can rejoice through times of suffering. He's telling us that our Savior is standing with us even though we cannot see him. We don't have to see him to love him, but we do have to know him. You don't have to see someone to love them. You want a good illustration of that? The blind mother has never seen her children, but she loves them. You and I have never seen a manifestation of the Savior. We have not visibly seen him walking among us, but we love him. And in times of trial, though we cannot see him, we sense he is there, and though we do not see him now, we believe in him, and that causes us, second time he's mentioned it, to greatly rejoice with an inexpressible joy. Remember Thomas, who had to see to believe, and finally the Lord Jesus appeared and showed him the scars in his side, in his hands, and he told him to touch, and he didn't even touch. He had seen enough, and he said, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to Thomas in John 20, verse 29, blessed are you, but more blessed are those who have not seen and believe. You and I are more blessed than Thomas. You and I are more blessed than the disciples who saw the Savior. We believe in him, though we have never seen him. By the way, I think we see him best in times of trial. And have you noticed, if you've dealt with the dying, The closer people get to death, the more visibly they envision the Savior. I don't know how many times I've had people say in the last hours of their lives, I can see him. Do you see him there? Do you see him there? I can't see him. I used to be critical, even a little cynical of people like that. I'm not anymore. I believe they see him. I believe as death comes increasingly more close, increasingly closer, the invisible becomes visible. And I believe the presence of Christ becomes real as he moves us from time to eternity. We can rejoice because we have a living hope. We have a permanent inheritance. We have a divine protection, a developing faith, an unseen Savior. We have a guaranteed deliverance. Verse 9. Obtaining as the outcome of your faith the ultimate deliverance. Would you allow me a little rendering of salvation like that, paraphrasing? Obtaining as the outcome of your faith the ultimate guaranteed deliverance of your souls. Now, this is a deliverance not like United Airlines promises you when you check your bags in, or American Airlines, or some airline. Never forget the trip to Canada. Lasted 8 days. I had my clothes for 2 days because they originally went to Berlin. First time my bags were ever marked, Berlin. I wore the tags on them for months to impress people. Been to Berlin. My problem was I needed the bags. By the end of that first week, less and less people got close to me, I noticed. My bags were thousands of miles away. Oh, guaranteed arrival, no problem. That's why when you travel now, you see people walking to the airplane with these bags all over them, hanging down, and they shove them here and they carry. Don't check the bags because they don't get there. That won't happen with you and me. Guaranteed deliverance of your souls. You can rejoice. You're going to get there. Guaranteed. Peter suddenly steps into a little literary interlude. Maybe it was an issue in his day. It is not an issue now, at least right now in our lives, but maybe it was then regarding the prophets and angels as relates to salvation. And his thoughts are triggered with a thought, with an idea that he needs to mention to these scattered saints. And in verses 10, 11, and 12, he deals with the subject of the prophets regarding salvation. Just a little interlude. He asks to this salvation, almost like you'd say if you're teaching. Oh, by the way, or in addition, or let me mention this. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful search and inquiry, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. I love the way that says it. Here are these prophets and here are the angels longing to see what this is all about. You see, we can't appreciate the day in which we live because we have history to look back on. It is all recorded for us and it's past events. We look back and we see clearly Mount Calvary and we see clearly the beginning of the church. And we can see clearly the development of the church through time and the work of the Holy Spirit in individuals' lives. And we can look ahead and we can see Mount Olivet and the coming of the Savior and the fulfillment of his plan. But back before there was a Calvary, they couldn't see all this stuff in between the mountains. And they would stare intently into the future, wondering, what was this all about? They could see Calvary and they could see Olivet, and they could see this Messiah's coming and something about his suffering, but they couldn't see it all put together. They saw his coming again in glory, but it wasn't clear. And they longed to know what it was about. In fact, as I read this, I see a couple of things that the prophets did not have. First, they did not have a clear picture of God's full plan like we do. It wasn't clear to them. As to this matter of salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come made a careful search and inquiry. Why, you know they would. I mean, imagine writing these wonderful truths and sitting back after writing them under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and thinking, now, what is that going to be like? How's that going to transpire? They didn't have a clear picture of the whole thing. Christ's death was clear, his glory was clear, but how it all fitted together in the work of the church was not clear to them. See, they were seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating. As he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. The second thing they didn't have the person of the Holy Spirit permanently indwelling them. He came for blessing, he came for inspiration, and then he left. That's why David prayed, "Don't take your Holy Spirit from me in a time of sin." The Holy Spirit would depart and return and depart and return. They didn't have the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit, so their knowledge was limited. The inspiration that we receive from Scripture, the illumination wasn't theirs. And you know what encouraged them to go on? Look carefully. I just got this past week. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you in these things. Isaiah, you write that. You may not understand it, but you write it. Jeremiah, you add that. You write that. And Jeremiah, under God's inspiration, wrote those truths and prophesied what was coming. And it was clear to them they were serving someone else. When I was in London, I heard stories of the days of the lamp lighting. Every evening about dusk was a tradition for the old lamplighter to come and to light the lamps on the street corners in the city of London. And as I thought about that, and as I read verse 12, I thought that would be what it would have been like had you been a blind lamplighter making your rounds in the streets of London in the 18th and 19th centuries. You did it for someone else's benefit, not your own. You didn't benefit from the lamp that was lit, but you lit it for someone else. So it is with the prophets. And even the angels long to know what our salvation is all about or what the experience must be like. I don't know if you've heard the gospel song, "Holy, holy is what the angels sing." The chorus says, "Holy, holy is what the angels sing, and I expect to help them make the courts of heaven ring. But when I sing redemption's story, they will fold their wings, for angels never felt the joy that my salvation brings." And that's true. When we sing redemption's story, the angels will stand beside us and listen. For the first time witnessing in the portals of heaven the glory of the saints as we join our voices in antiphonal song with those saints of all generations singing the glories of our redemption. Right now, they long to look into it. They long to know what it's about. Let me close with a very personal word. First of all, to you who suffer, and second, to you who seek. For you who suffer, only Christ's perspective can replace your resentment with rejoicing. I promise you that. Only the perspective Christ can give will replace your resentment with rejoicing. I've seen it happen in hospital rooms. I've seen it happen in my study with people. I've seen it happen with individuals that I've talked to outside the walls of this church. I've seen their whole perspective change when they caught a glimpse of the purpose of Christ in it all. You take that away, it's a bitter, terrible experience. You put it in, then there's reason behind it. Now, let me say something to you who seek. Only Christ's salvation can change you from a spectator to a participant. See, that's what the angels don't have. They aren't participants. They're only spectators. Only Christ's salvation can change you from a spectator to a participant. Well, I don't know who of you needed to hear these things, some of us more than others, perhaps. I don't know where you are in your pilgrimage. Some of you, it's trying to get settled in a home, and it just isn't working out. For others of you, it's trying to get settled in a marriage, and there have been disappointments after disappointments. Some of you, you're trying to learn what it's like to live alone. It's tough. Very few understand, and those who do want to tell you too much. You want counsel, but you don't want to be given a script to follow. Some of you are going through tough times with your job. Your occupation is now becoming a study in futility. It's requiring more and more hours and more time, and it seems less and less fulfillment. You feel scattered, feel fractured. The wonderful thing about God's book is that it applies in whatever area we are. Maybe not in all of those places, but there's one or two things that you'll take with you as we close our study, as we turn our attention to our Lord. Join me in prayer, will you? By the way, before I pray, are you real sure you've got the Savior very clearly fixed in your life? Are you absolutely sure about that inheritance? You sure you know the Master? Are you absolutely sure that you've come to the cross? And just like a child taking the hand of a father or mother, you've taken God's hand in faith. You've got that sense of assurance. If you're not real sure, this is the perfect time to take care of that. Just linger for a while. Think it through. Turn your life over to Him. Lord talks about hope and encouragement and purpose can really fall flat if things aren't right in our lives. If we're consumed by revenge or feelings of rage and resentment, somehow these words just sort of spin through our heads and go in one ear and out the other. But when the heart is right, there is a sense of magnetism within us, and we embrace the truths we hear. We appreciate them. We love you for them. I pray for every person going through a trial right now. That means every person hearing these words. Our trials are all over and they're all different, but Lord, they're there nevertheless. Give us grace, color to match the color, need to meet the need, and give us a sense of hope and purpose beyond the pain and the sting of pain today. Help us who are on our feet and feeling a special sense of energy and determination to maintain a compassion for those who can't seem to get their lives put together. And rather than judgment, give us tolerance and grace and a word of encouragement in a season of need. I pray for Jesus' sake. And all but the people said, Amen.
Finishing his second message in our study of 1 Peter, Chuck Swindoll titled today's message, Hope Beyond Suffering, How We Can Smile Through Suffering. I'm sure you'd agree that Peter's wisdom is so relevant to our lives. Well, bear in mind that every sermon Chuck presents on Insight for Living is paired with online study notes. We call these free Bible study resources Searching the Scriptures Studies. To take a deeper look at 1 Peter, go to insightworld.org/studies. Look for the series called Hope Again. We know that many people listening right now are living through a season of suffering. Some are still processing their grief. Let me give you an example. One of your fellow listeners explained that she and her husband have been listening to Insight for Living for many, many years. And then she said, Chuck, in 2018, our only child and son died very suddenly of a heart problem we knew nothing about. He was 37 and full of life. Needless to say, we were devastated. I felt abandoned by God for a good part of that year. But through our church and by listening to your daily devotionals, I've been helped greatly. Thank you. Even this grieving mother has reason to hope again, and it's because of God's promises. Let me pass along her thanks to all those who financially sustain Insight for Living. In many respects, your generous giving has impacted mothers like this one and so many more. So thank you. To give a donation today, call us. If you're listening in the United States, call 800-772-8888. Or you can give online at insight.org/donate. Your contribution is the fuel that's needed to provide Chuck's teaching right here on your station and around the world. We look forward to hearing from you soon. Again, you can give online at insight.org/donate. Treat yourself to a vacation you'll never forget on the Insight for Living Ministries cruise to the Great Frontier with Chuck Swindoll.
Honestly, I had no idea that a cruise to Alaska could be so much fun. And without a doubt, the stunning views took my breath away.
God's artistic genius is on full display in Alaska. In fact, I guarantee this, you'll come home refreshed and filled with awe for His majestic creation.
Yeah, at one point our ship was getting chased by dolphins. They were playing and spinning in the waves. It was amazing.
You'll have plenty of time for adventures on shore, lingering conversations around mealtime, and strolling through the idyllic ports of call. You'll be a part of some of the best parts of our day, laughing, singing, and celebrating our God. Plan to come with us, won't you?
The dates are July 1st through July 8th, 2023. To learn more, call 1-888-447-0444. That's 1-888-447-0444. Or visit insight.org/events. The tour to Alaska is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend. I'm Bill Meyer. Join us again next time when Chuck Swindoll talks about staying clean in a corrupt society on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Hope Beyond Suffering, How We Can Smile Through Suffering, was copyrighted in 1988, 1990, 1996, 2005, and 2010. And the sound recording was copyrighted in 2011 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.